The Bible says in Timothy, it says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? Sinners. Okay, now everyone in the world is a sinner. Amen? That means he came to save all sinners, not just a few sinners.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello again and happy Monday. This week on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill's study in the New Testament epistle of Ephesians continues. Today's message is entitled, God's Great Love. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be beginning this morning at verse 4, and I'd like to read the verses that we're going to cover. And listen carefully. Now, as I read these verses to you, and you follow along with your iPad or your app or your cell phone, or God forbid you really have a Bible, you know what I mean. You know I'm teasing. Listen, I just got back from Calvary, Houston, and you know, I might do anything. You go down there with those guys, I mean, whoa. You know, you come back with every known allergy in the world. But it was a great men's conference, and I had the joy of speaking at it. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. But nevertheless, these verses that I'm about to read, that we're going to cover this morning, I know that the majority of you, these are so familiar. But we should never treat God's word, well, the doctrine of deadly familiarity, amen? What we should, when we read these words, is say to our hearts and to our Lord, take me deeper into these incredible divine truths. Amen? So let's look at what we're going to cover this morning. Paul the Apostle, he's writing to the church at Ephesus, that Gentile church. He's in prison, remember. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, it says, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, say that word, grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And the church says, amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about what is God's great love, or just simply God's great love. Now listen, we're not rushing through this incredible, great epistle. It's kind of like we're on a slow march, or maybe even a forced march, through what has been called the Alps of the New Testament. You know, I can open up every Sunday with another phrase of what people have called this epistle. It's just amazing to me. Literally, what we've been doing, especially in chapter 1, man, we have been breathing as like the air of heaven. Amen? And here we go up into the mountains, and it's another mountaintop experience, and then another mountaintop experience, and we found out, gosh, we're blessed, we're chosen, we're accepted, we're redeemed, we're sealed. Matter of fact, we are blessed, or have been blessed, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? That is a past fact, it is a present reality, and it is unchangeable. Amen. Man, I mean, that's mountaintop stuff, loved one. And not only that, we are learning doctrine. We've learned that our position in Christ Jesus is absolutely unchangeable. And we are not only renewing our minds to that truth, we're renewing our minds so that when we get to chapter 4, verse 1, we truly will, with all of our hearts, walk worthy of the calling that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen? So this has been just a wonderful time. We've also learned, as a little review here, what we were, what we used to be, what all of those people, anyone who is outside of Christ, we've learned that we were simply dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Our condition was so vile, so corrupt, so terrible, if you will, that only the grace of God, the glory of God, the power of God could change us. Amen? Yes. And I think, oh God, you're so good. We went through, before we came to Jesus, we went through the activities of life or the activities of living. Maybe we, you know, before we were saved, we got married, had children, and then got saved or whatever, but we just went through life. We didn't understand life, really. We didn't understand that we didn't, matter of fact, we really didn't care about God, but we didn't possess life. We only had physical life. And we certainly didn't have any idea before we came to Christ that we were walking, as we've already learned, according to the course of this world, dominated, controlled by the whims of the world, the hopes of the world, whatever the world thought and whatever, however the world acted. We had no idea that the world's values before we were born again were our values. Whatever the world said was right, whatever the world said was wrong, is what we embrace because we were, not anymore, we were of this world. Amen? Now we've overcome the world, praise God. Aren't you glad of that? Because we're now in Christ Jesus. And we didn't have a clue, not a clue. I didn't have a clue. If someone had walked up to me before I was born again and said, you know, you are one of the sons of disobedience, I would say, what are you smoking, man? Do you understand? But we didn't know we were the sons, one of the sons of disobedience. We had absolutely no idea that we were energized by the powers of darkness. We lived in Adam. We had no idea that those things were occurring. We were so dead in trespasses and sins, we had no idea that the devil was ruling us. And then if we had believed in the devil, then he would have made us believe that he wasn't ruling us because he's the father of all lies and every deception. Amen? So we start thinking about all these incredible, glorious truths, realizing that before we came to Jesus, man, oh, we lived according to the lust of the flesh, that slave in us. We fulfilled all the desires of our mind, whatever our cravings wanted, and we thought it was okay to do that. That was before we came to Christ. All of us were once there, but we're not there anymore. That was our condition. Now, but then, chapter 1, all that we learned in chapter 1, the day that you confessed with your mouth, Jesus be my Lord, and you truly believe that in your heart, everything changed, and chapter 1 became a reality in our lives. What God planned from eternity, God chose you in Him before the foundations of the earth, before time began. You were chosen in eternity by God, and the someone led you to the Lord, and it became a reality in your life that Jesus was certainly alive. You had no idea that God chose you before time began. Amen? None. I mean, think about that for a moment. What an incredible, glorious truth. We had no idea. Before I came to Christ, I had no idea that my sins had been paid for on the cross of Christ 2,000 years ago. None. But boy, I know it now, and I celebrate God. Listen to me now. The very moment that you, however it happened, wherever it happened, Jesus be my Lord, the day that you were born from above, the very second you were totally and fully blessed with every spiritual blessing which is in Christ Jesus. You didn't know that, but you were. You were fully chosen, fully blessed, fully accepted, fully loved, fully forgiven. Amen? But you didn't know that completely when you came to Christ. So the moment we asked Jesus to be our Lord, something happened. All those junk that was in our past life, now, all of a sudden, all things became new. Why? Because God made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? Beginning in verse 4 this morning, it says, but God, who is what in mercy? Rich in mercy, abounding in mercy, unlimited in mercy, never-ending mercy. He did something. He did what we could not do. Listen, His mercy reached out to the hopeless and helpless, those that were without strength. And you know what he did? His mercy, he saved us. You know what mercy means? It means undeserved kindness from God the Father. You see, we didn't deserve it. We are literally, are we rebels? We were rebels. Not anymore, but we were. Oh, I thank God for his mercy. I need mercy. I need God's mercy every day. Amen? Yes, the psalmist has written in Psalm 103:8, oh, the Lord is merciful. He is gracious. He's abounding in mercy. It says, for as the heavens are as high above the earth, that is a huge distance, by the way. Listen carefully. So great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Listen carefully now. For as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our sins and our transgressions. I praise the Lord for that. His mercy has done that. Amen? The Bible says in Psalm 136:1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His mercy endures for how long? For all eternity. Listen, God's mercy is unlimited, and it is unending, and it is directed toward you, the saints of God. Amen? I thank God for that. Now, not only is God rich in mercy, but because of his great love, very important word, great love with which he loved us. What is God's great love? Really think about that for a moment. Now, we know that God is love. Amen? That's who he is. God is love. God is light. You know, he's the God of all hope, the God of all grace. He's our Father, which art in heaven. Amen? But when you think about what is God's great love, you know, Jeremiah 31:3 says that God's love is eternal. It is everlasting. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:18, when we get over there, about how our Father's love, it cannot be measured. Listen carefully. It says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The love there that's being spoken of is not our love for the Lord, but his love for us. You know, I told the first service, you know, I said, you know, you may be going through a time right now, a storm in your life. If you're not, get ready. There's one coming, okay? You know, we're going to have tribulation in this life. Jesus promised, okay? But he says, don't be afraid. I've overcome the world, and we're in him. Amen? But you know what? Let me ask you a question about storms, because they blow in unexpectedly. I mean, they just come in, and you don't know the damage they're going to try to do. Would you rather have Jesus in the storm with you or just be in the storm? No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, it doesn't matter. It could be your health. It could be a divorce. It could be horrible marital problems. It could be financial issues. It could be horrible, bitter loneliness or depression. It could be work-related. It could be confusion. It doesn't matter what the storm is. Listen to me. You will go through it with Jesus Christ. Why do I know that? Because the Bible says in Romans 8:39, it says that nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Listen, I've said it so often, but I can't help it. I say it all the time to myself, and I just repeat it over and over and over. You know that God, he is for you. Amen? And if God is for you, who in the world could ever think about being against you? He will never, it says, never relax his hold upon you. He will never leave you without support. Never. Whatever you're facing right now, Jesus is with you. Just follow him. Let him be your guide and your rest. Amen? Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, our Lord has told us. Don't you be afraid of any of it. Listen, you know what a storm does? And I know, see, I'm getting away from my notes. That's when I get away from the Holy Spirit. No, you know, the problem with a storm, the first thing you want to do is turn around and run. Isn't that right? I mean, if you saw a blue norther coming through with the tornadoes and all the, you say, I'm not going through that. But here's the thing. You go through the storm. You get to the middle of the storm, especially if you're flying. Whoa, I hate that, one of those storms, and you're going through it, and you're bumping everywhere, and the face masks fall down, and now you're repenting of every sin in the world, and you know, then all of a sudden it stops. Well, the reason it stopped is because you're in the center of the storm. Then all of a sudden it picks back up, and then you're starting to pray again. Why? You're going out of the storm. You're going to make it because God is for you. Listen, when you think about what is God's great love, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is 1 John 3:1, where it says, "Behold what manner of love that God our Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God." That is if you don't know God's love, you should dissect that verse on your knees. God loves me. God loves you. You know, what manner is one word in the Greek. Okay, it's listed about 6 times in the New Testament. And the word what manner means to be, it means to literally be astonished at this love. It means to be literally surprised and be in wonder, because that word what manner originally meant from what world or from what country. Now listen, it means that God's love, it's not from here. Do you understand? God's love is from heaven. God is love. And it says that he has lavished this unique, incredible, this love that's unlike any love found in the human race. It's God's own agape. He has lavished it upon you, and he is now calling you his children. Loved one, there's no greater love than that. God loves you. We are the recipients of his love. But you have to, again, but what is God's great love? The one who is so rich in mercy. It's Calvary, isn't it? It's the cross of Christ, isn't it? It's letting his son die for our sins, taking our place. The Bible tells us, for God, remember that night Nicodemus, when he came to the Lord? Came by night and so forth. Isn't it amazing that Nicodemus was the first one to hear John 3:16? God, you know, and what a glory. And you know the scripture by heart. For God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave. He gave his only begotten, his only unique son, the spotless, sinless son of the living God, who was born of a virgin and lived here for 33 and a half years. And everything that he did pleased God. He gave his only begotten son. Whoever would believe in him not perish, but have everlasting life. I say, oh Lord, you are so good. For God. God doesn't need us. Did you know that? God doesn't need anything. He is all powerful. He is everywhere. He's all present. Come on. He's the source of all life. He's El Shaddai. He's the self-existent one. Man, I say, oh Lord. This God, our God, so loved. And the kind of love, well, what kind of love is it? It's the kind of love that suffers long. It's the kind of love that is always so kind. It's the kind of love that believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's the love that never fails. That's the love that has been bestowed upon us, that incredible, great love, because we're the object of God's love. Listen, not just us, but the entire world. Amen? For God so loved the trees, the rivers, and frogs, and no, he loves people. He loves his creation, amen? That means that no person anywhere at any time has ever been excluded from the love of God. God loves everyone. And you know what I love about the Lord? You see, God's love, does it go up and down? Oh, look at Bill, look what he did, look what happened. Oh, does God... That was a spiritual spit. Does God's love do that? No. See, listen, God loves you right now perfectly. His love doesn't go up. His love doesn't go down. His love never changes. Well, you know, well, I just messed up. His love never changes. Do you see what I'm getting at? Now, we mess up, you know. I mean, that's like, you know, maybe I didn't shake your hand. I'm leaving this church. You know what happened yesterday? When I was speaking at that men's conference in Houston, I had this big guy come up behind me and grab me. And he goes, it was a policeman. You know, he had a police because there was, you know, a lot of, well, this is a huge church. You know, it's a mega church there. And anyway, so he turned me around and I was looking at him and I thought, man, I mean, do you know I'm teaching here? No, what's he doing? And he said, you don't know me. And I said, I don't know your name, but I know your face. And then we started talking. I said, dear Lord, he was here for 10 years, left in 2000. And then he said, my wife knew you were coming and she wants to meet you and say hello to you. And so it was a men's conference, so put her out in the hallway. And then after I'd spoke, then I went out and talked with her. That was the best part of that entire time for me. You know why? Here's what they said. They said, never have we ever forgotten. Love never fails. Never have we forgotten to put that into practice. And we have never forgotten the song that we sing when you close the service. Amen. That just blessed me. That just blessed my heart, you know? When I meet people that used to be here, I may not remember the name, but I know the face. What a wonderful thing. I don't know where I was. But anyway, the Lord, his love never changes. Listen, God, and I know you know this, but it always bears repeating for younger Christians, God loves you. He loved you before you were saved, and he loves you exactly the same after you are saved. See, God's love is perfect. It doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. It never changes. Irrespective, God's love it never changes. He hates sin. He does not hate the sinner. No. How did God reveal this great love? It says that he gave. We know that. The Bible says in Romans 5:6, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus took our place. He was our substitute. It says, for when we were still without strength. That's a powerful word picture in the Greek. It's a picture of a person who is on their last leg. They're flatlining. Do you understand what I mean? They're unconscious and they're not going to make it. Without strength means we were helpless. We were hopeless. There was no way to remove our sin, no way to resist the devil, no way to win. Does that make sense? So when we were without that kind of strength, it says in due time, meaning what God had planned in eternity, Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundations of the world, he came and he did what will never be repeated again. Never be repeated. Jesus, never will it ever be duplicated. Jesus died for you. He died for me. It's over with. Amen. I say, oh God, you are so good. It says about God's love in Romans 5:8, but God proves or demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I thank God that he died for us, amen. I thank God that we are born from above. You know, it bothers me, and I know I don't need to get off on this, but it does bother me. John 3:16 is the proof text of God's word. Amen? It bothers me when people say, well, you know, Jesus, God loves everybody, yeah, but Jesus didn't die for everyone. Well, if he didn't die for everyone, how are you going to know who he died for? It says, for God so loved a couple of guys, a couple of women, a few, America only. No, for God so loved what? Everyone in the world. Oh, listen, that's a sad thing when man, and I know that those people that proclaim the limited atonement, I'm sure they love the Lord, you know? And I'm sure that when this goes across the radio, they're not going to love me, but I can love them. See, I know in my heart what the Bible teaches. Jesus died for everyone. He died for everyone. And the Bible says that God desires all men, not a few men, all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Well, there's much more to this message, and we encourage you to join us tomorrow to hear the remainder of God's Great Love. And in the meantime, may the Lord bless you and have a great day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.